The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuvule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuvule Ogbayani, right next to Mr. Paul Brecht here, sporting his Knicks shirt for obvious reasons as we got underway with the NBA playoffs, which we will definitely get into a little later in the show. Also, really, for University of Hawaii fans this weekend, man, it was a very up and down type of emotional weekend, especially depending on if you're a fan of one particular sport or if you're a fan and cover all the sports like we do here. You guys know what I'm talking about. The University of Hawaii men's volleyball team going down in the semifinal round to UC Irvine, being swept 26-24, 36-34, and then 25-15. However, on the good side, the Diamond Sports had themselves a weekend, being that UH baseball and softball and baseball, making it uber dramatic, but in the winning ways, but not one, but two walk-offs in the series. I'm like, whoa. But at least Hawaii fans had sports to celebrate victories, albeit the men's volleyball season has officially come to an end after that loss. There was no surprise. They did have the selection show yesterday. But if anybody, and for everyone that does follow the sport of men's volleyball, we already knew that should Hawaii, and we talked about it last week, should Hawaii lose that semifinal game like they did, and which they did, there was pretty much absolutely no chance that they would receive an at-large bid. Their best chance to get an at-large or need an at-large would have been to win against Irvine and then possibly lose in the championship game. Then they could sneak in there. But no surprise there. Closing the chapter on this very roller coaster emotional season for the Rainbow Warriors. And we'll see what happens next year. But all indications point to it's a little different from when we look at the men's basketball side. Men's volleyball side is set up from what we know that there are going to be a lot of good players that are already kind of waiting in the wings, not just on the team, but Charlie Wade, being the mastermind he is, will already start reloading for next season. So fear not, yeah. Men's volleyball fans. We will have another great team next year. Could we potentially go through the same growing pains that we saw? Yes, because it'll be a new batch of starters. But player, like talent, it's coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, unlike in basketball, you see the University of Hawaii able to recruit at the very top of the sports level. And that's part of the reason is because you've seen Hawaii put how many players into the professional ranks over the past 3, 4, 5. I mean, Charlie's been here, 15 years at this point, it's probably been.
Yeah.
Where it really is the pinnacle of men's volleyball here. And you see that in the recruiting where you bring in Charlie's son, Kainoa Wade's going to be in here and he's, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10". At this point, he's going to pull a Tred Rosenthal and enroll a semester early so he can join that stacked class. That will really help things, not to mention there are already a couple of a couple of people who have committed to the Bows for next season and beyond as well, continue to recruit that international pipeline that Charlie Wade and crew have seen so much success come from, where you're right, it doesn't feel like this daunting task for them to reload, where on the men's basketball side, you lose your six of your top scorers and people who played minutes and whatnot. And while you are losing a lot of experience from this team, obviously Spyros Hakas, you got a little bit of a jump in life post Spyros, unfortunately due to his injury, but you also lose a Chaz Galloway out there, and you have obviously the seniors who are graduating, Alaka Itada there as well, but he also mentioned, you know, is there a transfer portal? That's something that we continue to see grow more and more and more. And there's expected to be changes to the NCAA transfer rules this offseason as well. And, you know, do you...
Before we get into that, though,
do you see any
hold
of that
thought. Before we look to the future, I want to put a close on this season. And to do that, here is what a head coach, Charlie Wade, G. Voss, and Keone Thim had to say following the loss to UC Irvine on Friday. I was like, wait, what day was it already? On Friday.
Yeah, pretty high level stuff for through those first two sets, really entertaining. I'm watching that and just going, wow, the level of play in the Big West since its inception has been really, really impressive. You know, three of the teams in the top five the whole year, and obviously watching the play of Santa Barbara, San Diego tonight, Northridge, you have to be really impressed with the level of play in the Big West. You know, watching Heno out there tonight, National Player of the Year candidate, if he's not the leader, I don't know who is, and the Player of the Year literally has come from the Big West every year since before the league even started. I mean, all the way back 18. I mean, there's a long run of really high-level players. I think you saw the National Player of the Year out there tonight. That was an incredible performance. So hats off to Irvine, and looking forward to a great match tomorrow between those two teams.
Coach, losing's never kind of fun, but just especially with those two first sets that are so close, that a couple little things here and there could have gone differently. One, just kind of how tough were those couple of sets? And then two, with the way it's been an up and down these last 6 weeks, how proud are you with the way the team came out and played in this match tonight?
Yeah, super proud. I mean, we were hitting 400 after two sets and down 2-0. Like I said, high-level stuff. We were playing pretty good, and just a play here, play there. You know, our serving wasn't really up to our standard. That's something that's defined us for years, and it just wasn't up to the challenge tonight. You know, it allowed us to go on some runs at certain times, but at the end, too many errors for us really to push through and win those sets. But super proud of the guys. I mean, that was a battle, like I said, and just kept fighting, and some real gutty performances from a lot of our guys.
And then, it's just been a memorable career for you here at Hawaii. Just kind of, what are your kind of emotions right now?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been a wonderful few years here in Hawaii. And I think this year was, like all the others, still very memorable. I think that this team, more than maybe any other one, because we had to deal with so many rough patches along the way, really showed a lot of fight, and I couldn't be prouder of them.
And one for you, Keone. What can you say about, especially this conference season, how you battled your way into a pretty prominent role after Spiros went out, and what do you take away from this last several weeks?
Well, it wasn't easy. Honestly, I'm just proud. There's a lot of grit, a lot of ups and downs, especially when Spiros went down. You know, it was just a fight every day in the practice gym, and I'm proud. Proud I didn't give up. Just kept going, kept fighting, and it was just good to see everyone. Kind of, I don't think anybody left with any regrets. We kind of put our hearts out there, so.
Kind of talk about, obviously, the emotional night, but what does this do for you guys and the guys that are returning next year? You know, what does a game like this kind of do for you guys going into, into the future?
I think for now, it'll just be a feeling of gratefulness. You know, so many people who support us and love us, whether we win or lose, and especially for like the juniors and a little bit older guys that I've been with, like G and Jazz, them. It's like just grateful to be alongside them. So that's probably what we'll be thinking about for now. But once we rest and recover and kind of get our heads wrapped around how things are, then it's just work, right? Just to try and be the best version of ourselves that we could possibly be.
Coach, just a couple years from now, you're sitting back and you think back to this season. What do you think you'll remember the most about this 2024 year?
Great question. I guess I'll see how good we are in a couple of years. Because I said to the guys at the end there, and we don't really debrief too much, like in the moment right after, like to reflect a little and kind of analyze some stuff. But we certainly saw a lot of development from a lot of different guys. You know, some guys were forced into action. Guys like Keone that have been here for a while and got a chance. We just saw a lot of growth and development from the young guys, and then, veteran guys like G that have been here really had to step up and not only play statistically at a higher level, but you know, take more of a leadership role in the team. So just really proud of the, like I said, the growth and development from so many guys throughout the roster, even guys that you guys never see, like a Justin Todd, who's been, you know, kind of a lot more reps on the B side and stuff, that are just seeing the development of those kind of guys. I think you're going to see down the road that this year was really significant in their development.
And then just lastly for me, you know, now that the season's over, I mean, can you really kind of paint a picture of just what kind of grind it was this Big West season, having to deal with what you had to deal with, having to play on the fly, having to get all these guys, different combinations, just how much of a grind kind of was this Big West season this year?
Well, it's always a grind. You know what I mean? Like, I've had, whether it's been my wife or some other people, like, to say, you look like you're always pissed off. And I'm like, well, you know, I love my job, but it's not like, ha-ha, funny, this is great. Like, it's always a grind. Like, there's a lot going on. And so, you know, this year certainly created or presented some unique challenges. You know, I've been here, the head coach, for 15 years. We never had an ACL. And, you know, and to have it happen to our player of the year candidate and one of the top players. And so there were some unique things about it. But at the end, you know, it's just part of the journey. It's just part of it. You know, you do this long enough, you're going to experience a little of everything. And so, you know, for me, like I said, as the season started to present some very unique challenges to me, that's the opportunity for me to kind of learn and help these guys navigate through it, because life is going to give you some, you know, deal you some rough lumps and create some adversity. And it's how you deal with the adversity that will define you and help you to be able to navigate through life. So I hope that, you know, through my leadership and the rest of the coaches on staff, that, you know, we presented a good you know, environment for the guys to learn how to handle adversity and are not only better volleyball players for it, but better men for it in the future.
And that was UH men's volleyball head coach Charlie Wade, along with Guilherme Voss and Keone Thim, following their semifinal loss to UC Irvine in the Big West Conference Championships. Again, set score 26-24, 36-34. Yes, you guys heard that right. And then 25-15, which is no surprise. I mean, they battled, and they were asked that, like, when was the last time you guys had that, like, went that long in a set? And even Charlie really couldn't remember. He mentioned something about the second set against UCLA, but other than that, I mean, that set kept on going, and that's why the third set wasn't as surprising. I mean, the Rainbow Warriors really tried to give everything, one last bit of what they got in that second set, to try to close it out. And then once it didn't happen, you could feel just the momentum and the life get sucked out of the arena. And you kind of already, I mean, you still want to hold out hope, but coming back from two sets down against a team like UC Irvine, with how Charlie said, you know, potentially national player of the year candidate or front runner. Yeah, and likely front runner in Heno. It was daunting. It was an uphill battle from there, and Hawaii wasn't doing themselves any favors with 19 errors from the service line, 16 attack errors. And that was interesting how Charlie, you know, reiterated, like, we were hitting 400 and we lost, like, in the first couple of sets. Like, that normally doesn't happen, but when it does happen, it's because just too many errors.
Too many errors. You're facing off against a really, really high quality anteater squad that pushed Long Beach in the championship as well. And obviously they lost in four sets, but still receive an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. In general, it was, you're right, it felt like they had left it all out on the court after that 36-34 second set loss, which, by the way, is a Big West tournament championship. I always forget how to say it, because it's the tournament, but it's not the championship match. But
I think
it's,
you just have to say
Big
championships,
West championships
with the S. Yeah,
but it's not like multiple championships.
I
so I just want to explain why I'm such a weirdo to all the people. But
it's
like,
Monday.
Yeah, but even so, it was a record for the longest set in the history of the Big West Championships, and 70 total points scored between the two squads. And you're right, they essentially just juiced out the orange all the way there. And once you do that and you go down into the third set down 2-0 instead of tied up 1-1, you're able to catch a second wind if you're able to win that second set. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, maybe we got a little life here. After you go down 0-2 and you just gave up all of that energy, you're right. It felt like the energy in the building was gone. The energy from the players was quickly draining out. And time was running out quickly for the Rainbow Warriors season.
Nonetheless, we get it. You lose, as they mentioned in the post game, middle of the season or right before conference season, you lose our National Player of the Year candidate and potentially could have been a front runner up to this point. It would have been him and Heno battling back and forth, likely for that coveted individual award. But hey, they never gave up. They got some good wins out there, grinded out some wins, and you know, we look to the future. One thing though, that was speculated, and I didn't even know about it until I think it was you, Paul, that texted me. So there was some speculation about current players potentially leaving or returning next year. One that we did get confirmation on and could put to bed a lot of rumors is Kurt Neusterer. Is he staying or is he going? We'll tell you when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule Agbayani and Paul Breck wrapping up our men's volleyball conversation before we get you a little bit of caught up with what else happened with the University of Hawaii sports on the winning side, especially. But one of the biggest questions that Paul actually did text me about over the weekend and completely threw me off, threw me for a loop, and I had to go ask the other group because I was so determined. But just because there was like, I guess some, I'm not like, I don't really follow any of the players or the blogs or message boards or anything.
How
but,
dare you?
Yeah. Again, <either. laughs> mental health cannot be on the message boards because it'll just make off. Me angry. Yeah. And then I'm kind of like Coach Robin, where she doesn't like to see the Instagram of her players because it's just like,
I don't blame on that one. Not even a little bit.
So anywho, one that put to bed, especially one of Hawaii's top players in Kurt Neusterer, was one of the rumors that he could potentially be on the way out. However, he did post on his Instagram story yesterday that he said, quote, "I've received lots of questions regarding my plans for next year. I have committed to returning for my fourth year of eligibility with 2 years remaining. This summer, I will not be training with the national team and instead will be letting my body rest while working in private banking at the Bank of Hawaii. Mahalo nui loa to the amazing fans of Hawaii and my teammates who made this decision easy through their support and aloha." Sko Bowes, which that ending sentence, though, I'm like, so there was debate on if you were going, but it's okay. Even if you were contemplating, you decided to come back. So that's all that matters. But one player that is leaving that we didn't see him get too much action, but we saw him in this postseason tournament. Oh, go ahead. You know how to say it, Paul.
I think it's Ugzon Uggs. Either way, he transferred in this past offseason and was part of the reloading after what was the first step of after last year. But you're right, didn't see a ton of time this past season. Did see a little bit of action in the semifinal loss for the Bows before, obviously, they bowed out of the tournament. Now goes on to use what I believe is his final year of eligibility elsewhere. You're right, though, in Kurt Neusterer announcing that he's coming back. I'm sure that's exciting to more fans than just us. We love his energy here in the HSRN studios. He's an incredibly fun guy, and I was glad to see him post that as well, just because fans can very easily become worried very quickly, and rumors spread like wildfire. I mean, all it takes is... I don't even want to exclude myself from this. I texted you almost panicked where I was like, Kurt's leaving? Because I saw a random comment. And I'm glad that he put those rumors to rest. Glad he's coming back next year. I was always going to be surprised if he was going to leave, just because he seems to love Hawaii. He's very much been on record that he loves playing in Hawaii. He loves playing for the Bows and so many things. Plus, he and I have to set up a chess match sometime soon. I messaged him on Instagram. I was like, while you're resting, you and me, chess match. And he liked my message. So to me, that was him accepting that challenge. So clearly he's at least here until we play on the chessboard.
And that's the thing, right? Kurt is one of these solid players that is likely going to remain in the rotation no matter who Charlie Wade is able to bring in next season. So it would have been a surprise, because where else would you want to play if you had to choose but the University of Hawaii? Where, you know, on the flip side, when you have someone like Ogu's, who, I get it, like, he doesn't play a lot. He's a very talented player and could likely start somewhere else. It's just Hawaii is so competitive, and the talent level that we have here is just, I mean, it's top. It's the top notch. They're the reason why, even without the best player, our best player, they were able to remain within like the top five throughout the season of the national ranking. So we wish all of the players, of course, the best as they go on with their future journeys, but we'll see what happens next year. All right. On the positive side.
Yeah, on the positive side, Zach Wilson's not a Jet anymore, Koo. Sorry, was
obviously
that too much?
That probably just came out from the Twitter breaking news.
30
of the Twitter,
seconds
huh?
ago from, via Ian Rapoport, former Jets starting quarterback and number two pick Zach Wilson's on the move. Sources say he's being traded to the Denver Broncos.
Interesting. Dang. Wow, what a way to start sorry. Off NFL draft week.
Sorry
That's
to throw you off.
I know. I was like, what's going on?
I can't hold in. I'm sure you saw my
that.
Poor poker face over here while you're closing that up. Obviously, we'll talk about that and much more NFL stuff later in the week when we have a three-hour draft show that people can tune
yes,
into.
We will definitely have the three-hour draft show.
But back to some Hawaii sports now. I had to get that one off my chest.
Like,
that was
I can't hold it in.
I was like,
it's like a puppy. It's like, I got to say this. I got to say this. I
got to
say this.
For him.
All right, hold that thought.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, back to some Hawaii sports, what the beautiful people actually come here to care about.
Yes, I mean, they care. I feel like we have very good takes on national sports, so that's why they also hear us
yeah,
talk about national sports.
They shouldn't care about Zach Wilson being traded for a
yeah, probably,
pick.
Probably not, except for Denver Bronco fans, which we have a lot here in Hawaii. So that could
Is
be
that
a thing
true?
As well. Yeah, I know a few, actually.
We'll have to talk about that more in the future. Anyway,
okay.
Back to baseball.
All right, so we'll start with one diamond. We'll go over to softball first. Softball coming up with the series sweep. And, yeah, just winning all their games against CSU Bakersfield over the weekend, including a 10-2 five-inning game to start off the series on Friday, and then winning the doubleheaders 7-2 and 8-4. So started off a little, you know, it was a slow start for the Rainbow Wahine, but looking to be the way up as they go through the Big West Conference slate. Next, they go back on the road this weekend to play at Long Beach State, and then you can cheer them on again at home in a couple of weeks. May 3rd and 4th, they host Cal State Fullerton, just going back and forth as the Big West Conference goes on. And now in baseball, that was crazy. Luckily, our Michael Lescaro was able to sneak on over there on Friday to catch that walk-off over Cal Poly to open up this series. If you guys missed it, you can check out our Instagram at High Sports Radio. And then yesterday, again, I mean, that's the crazy part, right? Like, all right, one walk-off in a series. Yeah, cool. Like, woo. And then you get another one in 11 innings. Hawaii wins 6-5. They did lose on Saturday, 5-9. But bouncing back, getting another walk-off win, 6-5 yesterday. And shout out to Christian Shimabuku, where Nigel Ali Calderon, from Lanai. This was an interesting stat that Christian put out. He said 3,769 tickets were sold at Les Murakami Stadium yesterday. Lanai's population, according to the 2020 United States Census, is 3,332. So Ali Calderon just becoming a legend with that walk-off, and he was also voted the island's first HHSAA Hall of Honor inductee in 2019. So happy to see this, you know, kid from a small island doing such big things, representing his island. And again, shout out to Christian Shimabuku for some of those nice fun facts on the Sunday.
I loved that fun fact. I actually chatted about that with my partner as soon as I saw it, where I was like, is that smaller than our towns from where we're from? Because you know, I always talk about being from New York. I'm from a very small town in upstate New York. I always tell people I graduated with 63 other people. In all, just not a big spot. Pretty sure my town is bigger than that in terms of total population. Like, I'm pretty sure we push 4,000 to 5,000. And similar to my partner, where it was just, it was incredible to see those numbers next to each other. It continues what is such a cool story for Nigel as well. You mentioned him being the island's first HHSAA Hall of Honor inductee back in 2019. He had 4 home runs in a game back when he was in high school, and now he's playing for the home state, playing for the home school, and has an awesome, awesome moment to help win the game for the Bows, who were going up against a bit of a travel curfew again, not to bring up any PTSD for fans, but Cal Poly did have travel curfew, I believe it was at 6:15, so they were up against the clock just a little bit. They still had about an hour left to get the game done, but not wanting to let it go into any chicanery. they just go and win it with the local boy.
I love it. And so the Bass Bows improved to 6-9 in conference, and the Rainbow Ahine softball team improved to 11-5 in conference. And I also want to give a little shout out to the University of Hawaii Hilo. They came, or their softball squad, they came out with a couple of wins over Chaminade, but more importantly, that ended up having them punch their ticket into the PacWest postseason. So shout out to them. And on that side, it's only a 4-team run for the PacWest when it comes to
it's
baseball and softball. So shout out to the Lady Vulcans and, of course, HPU Baseball. We'll see what happens this weekend. They have a couple of more conference games against Chaminade this weekend, which you will be... Wait, I got to go look at the schedule. If the ones we're broadcasting is the PacWest conference games, because it's for their play a 4-game series, but 2 are the conference and 2 are non-conference. So depending on what happens, HPU Baseball could likely officially punch their ticket into the PacWest postseason, which would be huge, where they would get 2 Hawaii teams into the postseason. As you mentioned, just like extremely difficult to do when it's only 4 teams that are allowed to get in.
I wish I was better at putting it into words how difficult it is to get into the playoffs for the PacWest, both baseball and softball. And to get 2 Hawaii representatives would be incredibly fun. One, for us here at HSRN, obviously we love our friends at the Division II level and continue to work with them. But 2, I mean, a lot of times it's just like the club of the people from California. You know, it's all these California teams who are buddy-buddy and, oh, yeah, we come to Hawaii for the Hawaii pod and blah, 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 blah. It's nice to see the success on the diamond for both of those programs. As, you know, there's some really talented baseball players and softball players here in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Like, exceptionally talented. This helps put them on an even bigger stage should they go to the postseason. Obviously, HPU still trying to punch their ticket officially going forward.
And last thing to close this out, I want to double down on the University of Hawaii Hilo softball team, where that win actually against Chaminade, the first win of game 1 of their doubleheader, was also a walk-off. So we just had a crazy time for a lot of these Hawaii schools on the diamond. All right, got to step aside. We are way up against the clock. When we come back, we will let Paul have his little Monday of joy for a split second and share another fun fact with you when it comes to the not only the NBA playoffs, but also the NHL playoffs, being that Vegas took some cracks over the weekend. So we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Ooh, baby, Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Nice to know ya, let's do it again. How we did it on a one night stand. Girl, I wanna be more than a friend.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. Kuhle Agbayani and Paul Brecht. mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network and any of our programming. And speaking of our programming, as Paul kind of mentioned in a previous segment, but we will give you more information now. On Thursday, it is NFL Draft Week and the NFL Draft, the day that we've definitely been looking forward to, especially as Chicago Bears fans, being that they have the number one overall pick. We will do a special 3-hour show during the NFL draft. So we will jump on air and go from 2 to 5 p.m. Thursday afternoon. You can still hear Paul and I on Thursday morning. Well, actually, I take that back. Cannot hear Paul and I. It'll be me, and we'll see who we'll have, because Paul will be closing out the season for Sharks Weekly, as he always does on Thursday. But Thursday afternoon, it will be Paul, myself, and our Michael Lescaro on Thursday. So it'll be a nice NFL draft party, as we will give you the pick-by-pick update and then just get our real-time reactions to how it is. And I apologize in advance if your speakers break. I promise I will probably go away from the microphone like when the actual pick comes in for the Chicago Bears. A couple of picks in the first round, so we'll see what happens.
Couple of picks in the top 10.
It's going to be a fun time, and you guys already know how we get crazy and react, especially you saw Paul, or not saw, but heard him
react. May as well have seen me.
At something that was just a player that's not on his team anymore. So can you imagine if
when players Paul, are on my team?
Not only players that get drafted, but if there are players that Paul really wants to be on his team, it's just going to get wild. So
yeah,
I hope you
Roma
guys.
Roma Dunze.
Yeah. No. I'm like, you no, I want that player. No, I want that player. I want that. I just want all the players.
You get Caleb Williams. You back off.
I'm going to be selfish over here.
I want Rome.
Also coming up this week, we will have a lot of local play-by-play action. We have OIA baseball and softball championship games going on Friday and Saturday. Saturday afternoon, we have HPU softball against Chaminade. Final couple of games at Howard A. Okita Field. Sad face. And then Sunday, we round out the, wow, I can't believe it's coming to an end over here for PacWest. So we round out the season with PacWest baseball. Oh, excuse me. I forgot to look that up in the thing. Not knowing if it's two PacWest teams.
Either way.
For everyone that knows with the PacWest, like they'll play each other and then some will be conference and some won't. It's not like going out in the Big West where it's like the entire series is a Big West
against your conference
thing. So
opponents.
I apologize if it kind of sounds all over the place, but we will bring you the doubleheader on Sunday afternoon to the evening between HPU and Chaminade. So a lot of action. You guys can always go to our program guide to check it out. All right. Getting back to some of the national sports that happened over the weekend. My Orlando Magic lost, of course. No surprise there. It was an ugly game. I apologize if any of you guys watched that game to start off the NBA playoffs, because it was probably the most boring and awful basketball to watch between the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs winning 97-83, but it was just not fun. So there's not much to say about that game. However, the funny trend over the weekend, though, as I mentioned to before we went to the break, is that Vegas took some cracks like to open up the playoffs, not only in the NBA, but also in the NHL. The home teams dominated in both leagues. The NBA's 8-game ones, the home teams went 7-1 against the spread, with all home teams winning outright. And then the NHL's 6-game ones over the weekend, the home teams also went undefeated. In each game, the home team received the most tickets and the most money for money line bets. So again, Vegas, and I guess now all over the country, took some major
true.
So yeah, I'm like all over, especially the East Coasters in New Jersey and New York that do like to bet a lot of money. So took a lot of cracks in those sports books, and you know what? I'd love to see it. It's funny.
It's the way that it goes. And sometimes the books win really, really big, and sometimes the books lose really, really big. And it's cool to get little moments like this where you see a cool moment in history, I guess. It feels weird being like, oh, it's historical to win 8 games, like all you know, 8 games or whatever for the NBA and the 6 for the NHL. Whatever. Whatever. It was cool. And it doesn't happen all the time. And also, go Knicks. I just like to say, but
they
a little
were,
look
obviously
behind the
they
scenes.
Were a home team.
Yeah,
that,
a little look behind the scenes. I like to make Ku and throw Ku off right before she goes back on the microphone like that. So, yeah, no, the Knicks winning game one, game two coming today, along with game two for your Orlando Magic. Oh.
This is not fun to watch. Like, I was... It's a good thing I was only half awake watching that game because it was a 7 a.m. game on Saturday following, you know, a wild night at the stand for UH men's volleyball. But it was just, I was reminded why, you know, with Orlando being out of the playoffs for so long, why I just gravitated to watching Golden State because in their peak, they played such pretty basketball and they're very... Team basketball, obviously you have like the Splash Brothers and whatnot, but watching that, as and then especially after watching the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament, who teams on those ends, just they play so well and the style is like very minimal mistakes. And then I watch and you're thinking the NBA are the best players in the world. And then you watch the Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. And it was like this mistakes after mistakes. I'm like, I was reminded of why I do not like to watch the NBA regular season because this is what it looks like. I'm like, ugh, it's just not nice basketball to watch. I just cannot enjoy it like I do college.
Oh, you're going to be so stressed throughout the playoffs then,
I
too,
know.
Because it only gets uglier. The cool thing, cool might be the wrong term, but the thing about the NBA playoffs and playoffs in general where you have these series is the fact that the teams get to play each other over and over and over again. It's not like, oh, you play one team this day, now you're traveling, and you play a completely different team with different personnel 2 days later. It's, you see adjustments game to game. So I'm curious to see how different it looks today in game two between the Magic and the Cavs, because they are the best players in the world. Like, they do have some of the best players in the world, and sometimes... You also see that, hey, there are the best coaches in the world in the NBA, and they do an exceptional job making life difficult and throwing different chess matches at all of these different players. The Magic, a young team who have not been in the playoffs. A lot of players who aren't very experienced quite yet. It goes back to almost our conversation that I had with Juju Watkins during the NCAA tournament is, you need to take your cracks, you need to take your scars, so you can learn what you need to be going into the future. It's something that happened to the Knicks when you see back in their We Here season, the 2020-2021, where Julius Randle was absolutely incredible, and then they lose and bow out in the first round against the Hawks. Since then, the Knicks have been far better in the playoffs, far more competitive in the playoffs. I can see a very similar direction for the Magic, where you're starting to figure it out. You've got your star in Paolo Banchero. Can you add on to that from now? Can he get that scarring? You know, obviously not real scarring, but mental scarring from the playoffs of like, oh, wow, this is what it's like to be a true number one option in the NBA in the playoffs when everybody's gunning for me. And I think it'll be a good long-term experience for the Orlando Magic, even if it might be a little bit painful during this playoff run.
I agree. I just hope I don't always want to pull my eyeballs out every game that
we
go through.
They won't get swept. They won't get swept. I will put my stamp on the table.
I don't care if they don't get swept. I just, oh, it's just, it's, bleh. When you get
it's
used
fair.
To watching nice, pretty basketball for how long, and then you have to watch that, I'm like, this is painful to even just watch as a basketball fan. Like, if I was not a fan of the Magic, I would not watch the series at all because it was very gross. All right, when we come back, we were actually going to do a pretty cool thing. And welcoming in, so you guys have heard Chaz Mihara. He calls a lot of our volleyball games on our station. But Chaz, his full-time job is the Center for Tomorrow's Leaders High School Programs co-director. And we're going to chat with one of his students who is doing a cool project right now to help support the Kupuna in our community. So when we come back, we will chat with Chauncey Arklos next on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Ku'ule Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. Trying to get through something. This is what happens when I don't put things on my calendar. So this is not a fault. I just want to make this clear in case this doesn't happen. This is not Chaz. This is me. He had texted me like Thursday evening. I was like, oh yeah, I'll get back to you tomorrow. But the end of last week was chaotic. And then Chaz followed up with me this morning. And I was like, oh, yeah. We could totally do this. And then I'm trying to figure this out right now as we go live radio.
I am joining us into a nice little meeting, hopefully with our friends.
Okay, hopefully I can get this going. So let me join myself on this one. Do you see? I can't see anybody. Hold on.
I also cannot see. This is tough. Tough scenes for a young guy working on the computer right here, feeling pretty boomerish.
Did you just say feeling pretty boomerish?
That is the exact terminology, in fact, that I used.
No?
What's up?
There we go. Okay. We apologize for that inconvenience, Chaz. All right. So we have a few minutes. Hopefully this will be a lot more seamless the next time that we have that. So like I mentioned, you guys here are Chaz Mihara calling a lot of the volleyball games on our airwaves. But when he is not working in sports, he is fighting the good fight and is the program's co-director for the Center for Tomorrow's Leaders High School Programs. And here to invite one of his students, Chauncey, a senior at James Campbell High School, to tell us about the cool project that he is working on. Welcome, Chauncey. Sorry about the technical difficulties to start that off.
It's all good. Hi, how's everyone doing? So my name is Chauncey. As you mentioned before, I'm an avid senior and I go to James Campbell High School. So I've been in Center for Tomorrow's Leader for 3 years. And basically, if you don't know what CTL is, they basically train the next generation of Hawaii's leaders. So to do this, we have leadership training once a week, and we try to put whatever we do in the classroom out into our communities, whether it's to help a need or it's a problem. So this project that we had is, it was actually a class project. So we worked with a nonprofit organization called Our Kapuna, and they wanted the community to know that their resources are available. So we try to help them by passing out flyers to different parts of the community to boost the awareness about this resource. Basically, Our Kapuna, they're looking for volunteers to engage with the Kapuna, whether it's helping them with their essential needs, whether it's their getting their groceries, helping them with their medication, you know, things like that. And they also want people to talk to them, because, you know, it can get pretty rough sometimes. So our AVID class is actually taking a part in that. We have several AVID students communicating with Five Kapuna through letter writing. So it's kind of sweet. So lastly, if you're actually interested in volunteering, you can go to their website at www.arkapuna.com, or you can reach them at their phone number, 808-215-0073. And I just want to thank you guys for having me talk about this project that we've been doing.
No, thank you so much for joining us. And we have less than a minute to left in this show where we got to go. But just really quick, Chauncey, just tell us what inspires you to do these good things for our kupuna.
So I've been born and raised in Hawaii. And, you know, growing up, like the kupuna, they're always really sweet. And just seeing kupuna in our community, whether it's I'm just outside, you know, in the community, I just always want to help them, whether it's through this project or other ways.
I love it. And we are appreciative of young leaders like yourself. And Chaz, quick 10 seconds if you want to say something to close us out.
Just want to thank you folks for allowing Chauncey to come on. I appreciate Hawaii Sports Radio Network. You guys are doing a lot of great things, so keep the good work up. Paul, Kule, love you guys. Have a good rest of your day. Appreciate it.